We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease. Fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams. So whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, F-R-E pouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. F-R-E, free. Strength you can count on. Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. And I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle and they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. I finally got to let Charge see this video from YouTube where I found the song. What do you think?
It's better than I thought it was going to be based on the song. It's it actually makes Utah look like someplace I'd like to be.
What do you mean someplace you'd like to be? You're there.
Well,
You're there, buddy.
I am there. I'm in for good. It's yeah. It's funny that they put in the what was then the only pro team. They put in
the Jazz.
They put in the Utah Jazz in there a little bit.
They didn't have any Sasquatch videos of the Utah Sasquatch. Wait, that's not what they're called.
No, Mammoth. The Mammoth.
But they should have been called the Squatch if they had done it right. They didn't do it right. Look at them. They're just running around the hills. Look at that statue where Brigham Young said, "This is the place." I love the commitment right there. This is the place.
Now, when Brigham Young said, "This is the place," it might have just been because they were short on food. They're like, you know what? You know, we can't keep moving. We gotta just pick this spot right here. I don't know the story.
Right. Brigham Young might have sold it to the pilgrims, to the Mormon pilgrims to say, "This is the place." And there might have been mumbling in the back of the covered wagon trail.
Yes.
That was like, are you sure this is a place? There's not a lot here really. Shh, he's coming back here. And then deep down, Brigham Young is like, he goes to bed that night going, "Oh, I'm just so tired. Like, this is fine. This is fine. We'll figure it out.
This is going to happen."
I apologize to all of the Mormon faith if I have inadvertently blasphemed your leader and founder. I didn't mean to at all. But I guess my sense is the Mormons at least have a sense of humor in which you won't get cast into hell if you make a joke or two. That's all.
I think they got tough skin because they've been the butt of a lot of jokes. So I think they take it pretty well from everything I can see. Yeah. I don't see anybody like being really careful and choosing every word cautiously. You know, I haven't seen any of that stuff. Right. So yeah, I think that's probably the case.
Okay, we got.
By the way,
much...
nice of you not to mention my VR hair, since you said we're on video, which you and I are. Got this big your headset. Now that I'm a man of leisure, I've been doing a little extra. I've been doing some VR.
Have you been playing the Meta Quest that I have sent to live with you like a wayward cousin?
I have.
At no charge to the league, at no charge to Charge. Charge wanted to buy it off of me, and I said, I will not have it. And so I just sent it out to live with you, saying, if I ever really want it back, I can call for it back, but you go play with it. So you've been using it.
I think I agree to those terms. Cool. I do this show at no fee to you, but I do have your VR headset.
That's true.
I think that's a pretty good trade.
Yeah, that's a pretty good trade. I'm just glad that you got time to play with it. So where are you doing it? Upstairs in the rec room area? Is that where you play?
Yeah, upstairs. Nice. Yeah. You got it. Push the sofa back, get a nice big open space. Get in some gaming where you can move around a little bit, get a little activity, which is nice. And weather here is still honestly great. So we're still out walking around and everything. But yeah, really, you forget how immersive it is if you haven't done it for 3-4 months, which had been the case for me because of football season.
Mm-hmm.
You put the headset on, you're like, geez, you forget. You just get transported. It's freaking awesome, Zabe.
Well,
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Continue.
I got fed recently. You know, your phone will feed you like photos from the past, you know, on this day, blah, 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 that kind of stuff.
Sure.
I've got a photo of you from like 7 years ago in my 3 houses ago basement with the VR strapped onto your face when it was nascent technology.
That was when Josh and I came over on our road trip up to Minnesota pre-pandemic. So that would have been 2019,
correct,
I want to say.
Yep.
Yeah. God,
yep. And I mean, VR was still in its infancy back then. The technology was not great. The lenses were blurry. You didn't have strong enough computers to really push it very hard like we can now, but it was still awesome.
And yet, when I bought that MetaQuest 3, at the time, the latest and greatest consumer grade VR, it was at least 2 years ago, maybe 3.
Yeah. Yep.
And since then, I believe the only subsequent headset they released from Meta was a dumbed down sort of SE version of Meta Quest.
Yes, that is exactly right. Called the 3S, and it is a step down version. For those of us that are really true VR nerds,
Steam
has announced their next headset. And Steam is a very, very big deal in PC gaming. In fact, get this. Steam, I don't think this has come up between us when we've chatted before. The revenue earned per employee, the number one company in the world is Steam.
Get out of here.
This is the PC. This is the PC selling platform where you buy PC games, not PC selling, a PC game selling platform that everybody uses. And they make $54 million per employee at Steam.
Really?
Yes.
Where are they based out of?
They are based, well, it's two former Microsoft engineers who decided one day, one of them's named Gabe, and he's the front end of it, Gabe Newell, and he's sort of the facing side of Steam. There's another engineer in the background whose name I don't know. But Gabe walked out of his Microsoft job to go make a game called Half-Life. And when he made Half-Life the game, he's like, I really needed some place to distribute this game. So he built this software platform to distribute his own game. And then was like, you know, maybe I'm on the wrong side of this business. Instead of slaving away, making games, I should just create some place where people can buy games. This is like 1990. This is like mid 90s. And then, of course, everything went berserk. And Half-Life was a really good game, too.
Wow.
So, anyway.
That's great.
That's the quick story.
So it was
Would you care to guess?
So it was a successful game, unlike, say, Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
You remember that?
No!
That's impressive.
No,
that is
impressive. No. Okay, I did not remember. The internet remembered, but I remembered to search for, what was the game Kurt Schilling made?
Yes. Yep. When Kurt Schilling found out the hard way that making games is really, really hard.
Right.
Really hard and very expensive.
Right. Schilling was a gamer during the end part of his career as a should be in the Hall of Fame pitcher, but politics has gotten in the way of that. Don't get me started. And he became a gamer, and then once he got done with all his baseball money, he's like, I'm going to make a gaming studio. And he called it 38 Studios. Get it? After his number, 38 Studios. And he endeavored to create a game, and it was called Kingdoms of Amalur. He got tangled up in getting all kinds of tax credits from the state of Connecticut, I believe.
Yes.
And he had a staff in which he was pushing to the brink of exhaustion to get this game done, where he was like, well, can't you just work for 30 straight days and then take 2 weeks off? Because that's how we do it in Major League Baseball. And somebody had to actually explain to Kurt Schilling the concept of a weekend.
Yes. And that has always been a big part of the video game industry. It's been crazy long hours when the game's close to done and people work for, you know, like six straight months at the end, every day, long hours.
Yeah.
That has always been part of the industry and still is. But, you know, Schilling had no idea.
He had no idea.
He just loved playing video games. And totally.
It was a money losing disaster. And I believe the game was no good either. Right.
It was not very good, unfortunately. Yeah. And that compounded matters. You can make back your money on video games, but as it turns out, what we're finding out is the big AAA games that take 4 years to code and teams of 2,000 people, almost impossible to get a return on those games.
Really?
Games that are killing it from a profitability standpoint are games developed with teams of under 20 that come up with a cool idea. It's a simple game that's got a repetitive hook into it, and you can crank it out in like 2 years, 3 years, and on a small, affordable budget, and you just come up with something cool and different, and that's it. It doesn't have to be massive explosions, cities being decimated by something, and, you know, gigantic teams. It's just, the small teams are the ones that are all making great, profitable games.
So during the holidays, my nephew was over, and I decided, hey, let's fire up the PS5, because in my boredom last winter, nothing to do. I'm like, I need to upgrade from the 4 to the 5. And I was in a Best Buy and I sent you a picture. I'm like, hey, they got the 5 in stock, because early on it couldn't get it, right? And I'm like, what do you think? And you gave me at least enough of a green light. And I went ahead and bought it and bought a couple requisite games. And I go to fire up the games, and of course, the Modern Warfare game was still in the cellophane, another Zabin classic. Get it out of the cellophane, pop it into the console. I'm thinking, okay, we'll give it 30 seconds to boot up, and then we're going to play, so we're going to shoot some bad guys. Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah.
Wrong. It was update required. Log in to your PlayStation account. I'm like, oh, God. And so finally, like, when it said, okay, you need to download whatever content or update, it gave me an estimate of 7 hours.
I was like, I can't believe that. You texted that to me. I'm like, nothing takes 7 hours to update.
And I'm on Starlink, which is now much better than my old internet, but it still tops out at maybe 160, 170 down at its best, and it may cruise along at 40 or 50 down, which is fine for movies and watching YouTube TV, but big files like this, it was going to take forever. So that was encounter number one. Today I was in the mall, of all places. I was killing some time on a rainy, cold, dank Tuesday out of work, and I had an appointment to go to that got canceled, and so I went into the mall, and I go to GameStop, and I sent a GameStop picture to Charge.
There's one left.
Yeah, well, there's one left in the Tyson's Corner Mall. And there was people in it. There was nerds in there, and they were transacting nerd business. And so I go to look at the PS5 games, and I just start thumbing. I was looking for a specific air combat style game, either jets or copters or something like that, fly around, blow shit up. Couldn't find one. What I did find, though, was a million different variants of, you know, that shitty Kurt Schilling game and other first person ones and mystical ones. And so I had to say, you know, today on the pod, let's talk about the state of console gaming. Where are we at? What games are they making? And is there anything good out there?
Well, let me, I want to hit this a few different ways. First of all, does Flight Simulator interest you? Are you familiar with this? This is a 30-year-old game that they update every 4 or 5 years with a new version that is photorealistic and will let you run the cockpit of all kinds of real planes, from a Cessna all the way up to a 747 and everything in between. Real cockpits, real instrumentation, real cities, real maps, real landing, all of that stuff, but you don't blow anything up. Does that hold interest to Steve Zabin?
I've seen that game, and I understand it has a passionate following. Part of me thinks it's a dangerous possible training spot for the next Muhammad Atta. But how would you learn every button and dial and throttle on a Boeing 747? Is there a tutorial video? Do they give you prompts on the screen when you hover your mouse over? What does this switch do?
Yes, they start you in the previous version with Cessna on Epps Field south of Chicago, and you know you work your way up. You start with like, hey, I should pull back on the stick for to go up. Yeah, stuff like that.
So you're saying you eventually learn all the knobs and buttons and dials and altimeters all the way up to a 747 through the game itself?
Yeah. Yep. Now, you know, I don't know if it has every single thing, but it's got all the big things that you need to do to fly massive commercial jets. It's in there.
Right. But here's the thing. It's boring once you get up in the air. Like flying big commercial planes, 'tis not exciting. Now, landing them at certain airports, by the way, you were talking about Epps Field, it's Meigs Field.
Oh, that's it. Thank you.
Named after Merrill C. Meigs, M-E-I-G-S, and they have shut it down. It used to be right off the Chicago Pier,
right,
jutting out into Lake Michigan. Small little runway. And if I recall, some of these flight sim guys were bragging about how, hey, I landed a DC-10 at Meigs Field. You want to take a look at the video?
That's right. The runway's 100 yards long. I landed a DC-10.
Like,
there.
Dude, you're legend. How'd you do that? Full flaps down, reverse thrust, made sure to come in at 15 knots, had a headwind. Yeah, no, that doesn't excite me at all. I want to be able to fly a realistic-looking on PS5 A-10 Thunderbolt
and then blow the shit out of villages in the Middle East from one side of the Gulf of Suarez to the other.
That's yeah, you want some actual action and things that happen.
Yeah.
GameStop's been a fascinating study for me. As I have mentioned to you at least once in our years together, I worked at what would become GameStop store number one back in the late 80s when I was still in high school and college. And then to see it explode into what it eventually became was absolutely fascinating. The Mall of America, which I know you've been to before Super Bowl year, you stayed right by Mall of America. You've been in it.
Yeah.
When the Mall of America opened, there were four GameStops in one mall.
I don't doubt it because the mall's so big. There's probably one in every wing. Isn't it like a big?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They had them all distanced out. And then one of them was themed, a little bit differently than another one, stuff like that. Now, the GameStop that you were in, did you notice today how much of it is just general nerd merch?
Yeah, it's trinkets, video games. It's collectible little action figures. I used to buy the old McFarlane sports action figures.
Those are great.
There. And I looked around just out of old time's sake, and I don't see them anymore. I don't know if they're still making them.
I don't know if they are making those anymore or not. I don't think so, but they were good because the quality of those were really cool and was very high. Those were good. Now it's GameStops are as much as anything about selling you Yu-Gi-Oh cards, Pokemon cards, the plushie that goes with it, action figures, all the other stuff. Yeah, they got video games and they're happy to sell you video games, but it's a digital world out there for the most part.
God bless America.
They want their libraries digital.
And they want to download on better internet than mine, not taking 7 hours, the games they want to play. And they'll pay for it online through their PlayStation account that I'm sure their daddy loads up with money to then download stuff on. McFarlane Toys still making sports figures, releasing new 7-inch posed figures for leagues like the NFL, MLB, NHL, and UFC through its Sports Picks lines. What was so great about the McFarlanes was, like you said, they were super realistic in every detail. Height, weight, size, proportion, all the little logos, little dirt and mud that had been painted on these figures. Really cool action poses that were some of the iconic poses of the players that you knew, like the one for Favre kind of had his neck cocked in a forward way and his arm up and his arm out. And you're like, yes, that looks exactly the way Favre would release the ball. So they're really cool. Man, I probably had 30 of them. I still have about a dozen of them rattling around my basement right here. But they weren't expensive either. They were like,
God forbid you took them out of the container they came in.
Well, I'm not a collector, Church. I'm a guy that liked to look at them and position them and go, look at this, Clinton Portis. I got one of Clinton Portis hurdling Ray Lewis in the not really existent Redskins Ravens sort of not really rivalry, because even though the two franchises are very close in proximity geographically,
yes,
there never been a meaningful game in the history of the two teams. But it's a pretty sick two-piece is what it is. I used a Lamar Odom McFarland to make my trophy for my mythical golf tournament in Vegas, the Hope for Lamar Classic. Are you aware of that?
I don't believe I am, but I do know that it's awfully funny, the idea of raising money for Lamar Odom.
Well, that's the thing. Fantastic. When I began this supposed charity tournament, the Hope for Lamar, I said, I need a name for this, because we would play golf during Zabe Vegas in March every year, a couple rounds at Bally High. And I said, what if we did a charity tournament, Hope for Lamar? At the time, Lamar had fallen into a coma after a night with as many prostitutes as he could afford at Sherry's Ranch out in Pahrump, Nevada. And he was like in bad shape. They didn't know if he was going to live. Right. And he ended up making a full recovery through no thanks to us, because the Hope for Lamar Classic never raised much money actually for Lamar.
It, And did any of it actually go to Lamar?
No,
or was
no.
This more like a Somali charity in Minnesota.
Basically, yes. We said, hey, if you want to go ahead and donate to Lamar, there's a cup on the 16th tee. You can put a few bucks in there. And that was it. So the trophy has the McFarlane Lamar with his patented fadeaway jumper in a acrylic cylinder. It's not bad. It's not bad, but yeah. So anyway, I did look up on the web that, yes, there are the following flight games for PS5. Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown.
Yep, that's the biggie.
There's Helicopter Combat called Helleborn. There's Project Wingman. Star Wars Squadrons, which runs on PS4 hardware, but it's playable on PS5.
Right. The PS5 is almost 100% backwards compatible with the PS4. So
right.
You can run those PS4.
But I want games that have been programmed with all the renderable polygons absolutely. And the teraflops of pass-through to give me the best picture possible. And then there is Flight Simulator 2024, which I don't think I've got the patience for.
No, I don't think that's going to be the right thing for you at all. There's almost no chance that that's going to be the right thing.
So what is the state of console games as we're heading towards Christmas? Do kids even play them still? Which console is most popular?
Yeah. Well, you know, PlayStation has basically ended the console wars. It is so far ahead of Xbox that it's not really close right now. And Xbox has been incredibly badly mismanaged. Like I've talked about it on a couple of different platforms before, and I think you and I covered this about 6-7 weeks ago, weeks ago. And so I don't want to retread that ground from scratch. But the Xbox is basically, it's way more dead than people know right now.
Okay.
And its future is bleak. The PS6 is rumored to be here by this time next year.
Mm.
And it, you know, like always, it'll be more roughly double the processing power of the previous PlayStation. It'll be fantastic. The big thing for this Christmas is
the
Nintendo Switch 2.
Right. The thing about the next PlayStation PS6, we keep going half the distance to the goal line, half the distance to the goal line, half the distance to the goal line. We're about as close as we're going to be. Like the graphics are so good on the PS5. It's stupid. So how much more realistic do you need your smoke and haze effects in modern warfare? Well,
see, maybe I'm just getting old. I can't tell the subtle differences like people talk about all
no,
the time.
I don't think it's getting old. I think it just is getting harder to discern because the differences I have a hard
diminishing returns. Now, the big rumor on the PlayStation, I think this is true, is it's going to simultaneously, and this is huge, Zabe.
Oh, boy.
And I think even you would have interest in this. Even you, I say.
Cook you a souffle? PlayStation souffle?
Well, that would be great. Souffles are pretty good. Okay. I'd rather have crepes. You can make crepes. If I'm going to get a French food, give me beef Wellington or give me crepes.
Okay.
Is Wellington French or is that English?
I think it's English.
I think it's French. They might be English.
I'll look it
anyway,
up. You keep going.
It is the PS6 is rumored to be both the home console launch simultaneous with the handheld that you can buy separately, and your library just goes between the two. So you buy a game once, and now it can be on both the handheld PS6 and it can be on your home console PS6, and you can just seamlessly go back and forth. That's the expectation. Steam already doing that to some degree with the Steam Deck, and they just announced that they've got a new console coming, a home console coming, that's coming in the first quarter. It's a 6-inch by 6-inch cube. The whole console, 6 inches by 6 inches by 6 inches.
Oh, my God.
And it is a home console that then has automatic cross support for their handheld called the Steam Deck.
Damn.
And that, to me, is very, very juicy stuff. Damn. I love that.
Do you still play that silly little handheld game that you had to order off of some crazy Reddit thread that's a cult classic? What do they call that little thing?
Well, there's the Playdate that had the little crank.
Yes, the Playdate.
And it had the black and white. It had the black and white screen and the little crank. And then there, if you remember, like 2 years ago, I was very excited about the classic game emulator consoles. And those still get me excited, where they ship with like 3,000 games on them with all the old classics on them. And you go play Dig Dug to like it originally looked in the arcade, and, you know, Intellivision and ColecoVision and the Atari Lynx and all these old games.
I have one of those consoles or one of those stand up games. It's called the Gargantua game, and it was given to me by the guys that built it in Wisconsin. It runs on Windows NT, and it's got a very heavy, big, you know, actual arcade console with every button imaginable, including two joysticks and the trackball for games like Centipede and whatnot. And it stopped working sometime around 3-4 years ago. So I need to endeavor, now that I'm unemployed, to dig in there and figure out how to get it fired up again. I tried to contact the fellas, and they're not reachable, so they're out of this whole business whatsoever. It's getting cheaper and cheaper to do these emulations. I would imagine on PS5, there's an emulation available to download or two?
No, because they don't want to encourage that behavior. Get sued. But you can do it. You can do it on your phone now. You can get you have to supply your own ROMs. That's the game part, but they have emulators you can put on Android and Apple phones now. So people have found ways to be able to do that. But what you've got, by the way, is called a MAME cabinet, M-A-M-E cabinet.
Yeah.
And there's tons of support, and there are tons of people that know how to fix those things. And
MAME stands for what?
Multi-arcade machine emulator. I believe.
Okay.
M-A-M-E. Yeah.
A MAME. Yeah. Got myself a MAME. Well, I just want you to enjoy my MetaQuest 3 with all your heart. And when you're finally done, let me have it back, because it was pretty fucking cool. And I was thinking about how, I remember playing some of these games, and it was really wild how good it was.
It is. It's so much fun.
And you've got the room. We've got so much room for activities. If you type that into Google, it'll call up this scene from Step Brothers. I know you're not super deep on pop culture and movies. Did you ever see Step Brothers, Will Ferrell?
No, I admit I haven't, and I have no reason not to have seen it.
So the two stepbrothers wanted to move in together in their house. They're living with their parents, and they finally got the approval, and they were so excited because they were going to move their beds together, make bunk beds. And the big feature was, we'll have so much room for activities.
We did it.
We did it.
It looked amazing.
Look at that. That looks like what you would buy from a store.
It should have been.
Look at all this floor space.
So much
aerobics in here.
So many activities.
Do step class.
It's making my head spin. How many activities we can do?
Play army man.
Yeah.
This is how we do it.
Da, 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 da.
Wait, I never asked you.
Yeah.
Do you like guacamole?
Oh, jeez. That's fantastic.
Oh, we're just kids at heart.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
Which is pivotal to all great humor is that you can't see it coming a step ahead. That was fantastic. Did you happen to notice they had the heavy metal movie poster up in their room?
I did not notice it, but I know that you did. See, you would love this movie. You would love a lot of movies because they got your silly sense of humor, but you need to take time to watch them. Sit down with Roxy and watch them, for God's sakes.
It's all time related.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit, and remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. Did somebody give you a really great gift last year? Is there a new person in your family or friend group that you want to impress? Does someone in your life deserve an extra special gift this year? Well, that's where Aura Frames comes in. And let me tell you, this is the number one rated gift for a reason. Here's what makes Aura so perfect. You get the frame, and then you can flip those digital assets over all year long. Download the Aura app, connect to Wi-Fi, and then you can add photos from anywhere, anytime. Unlimited photos and videos. Share effortlessly straight from your phone all year long. The frame arrives preloaded in a premium gift box with no price tag. Don't wait. The holidays are now with Aura Frames. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off their best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code ZABE at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code ZABE. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Speaking of pop culture and movies, so I want to rewind to last week's show, right before Thanksgiving. Me, you, Solly, and Scott.
Okay, where we are, re-round.
You guys make passing reference to an incredibly obscure and horrible 1970s movie named Buffalo Rider. And I'm thinking to myself, and I have seen Buffalo Rider, because there's a riff tracks of Buffalo Rider, and it's hilarious.
What's a riff tracks?
I'm so glad you asked. So you remember Mystery Science Theater, Zabe?
Yes. Loved MST 3000.
Thank you. let me just do it because this is a Minnesota based thing.
Okay.
So I've been tracking it since its very beginnings, 1988. It started on a UHF signal in Minnesota, public access. And they, Joel Hodgson started it with the puppets, and they were doing royalty free. They were, you know, talking over royalty free movies, and it ended up getting canceled here in Minnesota and then inexplicably picked up by Comedy Central, where it had a long run, including Thanksgiving Day marathons, which was awesome. Now, Mystery Science Theater ended up disbanding, you know, like 9, 10, 12 years in, something like that. Came back as a Netflix show briefly. And then three of the main principals who are on your screen right now from Mystery Science Theater started their own version of Mystery Science Theater without the puppets called Riff Tracks.
Oh.
And Riff Tracks is way better than Mystery Science Theater ever was.
Not possible.
The jokes are better, and they're about twice as frequent. And it is awesome. There are so many killer riff tracks. Almost any riff tracks that you see is better than almost any comedy movie.
All right, so here are the guys. Are
so well done.
Here are the guys.
Slippy the Toad was shot down immediately.
So take a look around and enjoy a riff.
They do live events. They will live riff movies in theaters that get beamed by a satellite. And so you can go watch a live riffing of Riff Tracks.
Oh my God.
I've come to know the Riff Tracks people reasonably well. They did a live show last summer in Minneapolis, and they invited me to the after party, and
that's,
it was
so
really cool.
Cool.
And they're great. Riff Tracks, the Buffalo Rider Riff Tracks is hilarious. And they've got a running bit. I'm sure you've never seen the full Buffalo Rider.
No, I only saw the part that was done by the band in Austin, Texas, that made a silly series of highlight videos called One Day a Guy on a Buffalo.
Which I can't believe exists either. It's
did you take time to watch those?
I did.
And
funny. They are funny. And it's the same movie. And I gotta wonder if Riff Tracks didn't inspire this band to go do it. You remember when The Room, the horrible movie The Room, hit this cultural zenith, like, I don't know, 8 years ago, where everybody's like, oh, hi, Mark, all that stuff. That started is because Riff Tracks hit it up first, and it took off from there.
I don't recall that. Just for
you,
the
don't
record.
You've not seen The Room?
No, I have not. But here is Guy on a Buffalo, episode one, titled Bears, Indians, and Such.
One day the guy on the buffalo was cruising around through the plain, seen a bear, and he thought to himself, oh man,
no,
I gotta
get away from the bear.
Hope he don't chase. Oh no, he's gonna chase me. Oh no, I better just turn around and chase him back. Cause guess what? I'm on a buffalo.
What I like so much is how this band that did it, the Jomo and the Possum Posse, they didn't even try to fit the lyrics into the rhythm or any kind of, it's just like slapped around and in there, much as the movie itself is.
The buffalo snuck up behind him with a pistol. He was like, hey, better watch what you're doing. Bam! Guy on the buffalo.
Knocks him out with the butt of his rifle.
Gun on the stump. On the buffalo. Guy with a stump on.
This hits my silly, stupid, funny bone right where it hurts. I love this song.
I can't. So how did you find this band that did this stupid ass versions of the.
I'm going to get an email from a listener going, I was the one that told you about the, you know, guy in a buffalo. Word of mouth, guys show people stuff on their phones. Things end up going viral that you didn't know about. This was kind of cool. Now, the real Buffalo Rider movie is long.
It is. It's an hour and a half long. I started watching it last night to refresh myself because I watched it originally and it's so funny because it's so bad and the guys are riffing it. They slip in two different narrators throughout the movie to kind of keep the plot going. And they don't mention that they're changing narrators. And so the guys are just constantly picking on that. It's great. There are Riff Tracks channels on Amazon Prime, Tubi, Twitch, YouTube, and I mean, if you're ever just like, I just want to laugh for 20 minutes, just flip on whatever's on you, whatever riff tracks you want, and guaranteed laughs.
Yeah. You know, Viking fans can flip on those, and they'll, for a moment at least, forget about the current misery of their team. So Max Brosmer.
We're laughing on Sunday.
Why not? Because you got to buy?
Well, no, it's because we are laughing at our own team.
Oh. Who do you guys play Sunday?
Your Commanders.
Oh, that's right. Vikings Commanders. So,
Commanders favored, by the way. That's what it's come to.
Why wouldn't they be? They've played the last two games. The Commanders have played pretty darn good football. And shockingly, when they decided to let, when Dan Quinn said to Joe Witt, their D coordinator, like, give me that sheet of calls. And he took over the play calling. I said it was the equivalent of throwing your empty gun at the enemy in a Western. But son of a bitch, the defense has been night and day better, at least over two games. And so part of me thinks, well, Joe Witt might have really sucked as a coordinator. Whatever he was doing was not working. So, but your Vikings with Max Brosmer had one of the all-time lowlights, a play that would be instantly on NFL Follies version 23 or whatever number we're up to. With that whole series, just to yeet the ball while getting ragdolled by a defender with no regard for, hey, this could end up in someone's hands for a 80-yard pick six. Brosmer's like, yeet! YOLO! that was the dumbest decision since TJ Rubley called an audible.
Oh. You remember that? How do you remember that?
Because it was the stuff we talked about on Bob and Brian all the time. That TJ Rubley, backup quarterback, called an audible that he was not supposed to call and things went horribly wrong.
Now, did they let him go back with the team? I thought they were like cut him that day or they cut him the next day, something like that, right?
Packer third string quarterback TJ Rubley had the ball in the last minute of a tie game in Minnesota. Called an audible and proceeded to gift an interception to Minnesota. It was his last day on the team.
NFL, so the final act as an NFL player. The Vikings' last two quarterback games, which is Max Brosmer last week against Seattle, and prior to that, it was J.J. McCarthy. Worse quarterback ratings in both games than spiking the ball on every single play.
I know, which seems dumb, but I guess interceptions are worse than spikes.
A lot worse, yes. Yep.
At least on spikes, they let you punt the ball after three of them.
That's right. You're not sending points the other direction. Yes.
What would have been appropriate and would have been great and cleansing to the Viking fan soul would be to have your coach, Kevin McCarthy, just stand there, hold out his hands, and tell Brosmer, okay, give me the helmet. Okay, yep, jersey, need that. Okay, pads. Like, if the coach had stood there and collected his entire jersey, helmet, and pads and left him in nothing but his athletic underwear and then pointed like this, that would have been the appropriate response to that situation of yeet. It's bad. And you know what? It gets even worse when you learn, and I didn't know this at the time, about what you guys paid to get broken down old ass Adam Thielen, who was once a feel good story, the little try hard white wide receiver from your home state, who was a dependable third down wide out, great hands, local guy. It was a great story, but damn it, that was years ago. You get him back from Carolina, and Kwezi Mfuse Mfomo, Kwezi Adolfo Mensah decides to give a fourth and a fifth, and I think another pick in the entire
transaction. Well, I think they got a seventh back, or they got a seventh back, as I recall. I'm looking it up here.
Oh, they got a fifth. Vikings got a fourth and a fifth for Thielen and a fifth. But you're still giving up a naked fourth for a guy who tallied eight catches and then asked to be cut so he can find a place somewhere else.
And he had asked the Panthers to let him be traded. Now, the funny thing is the Panthers were going to cut him. They were so deep in young receivers. The Panthers were probably going to cut him anyway, but he ends up costing the Vikings what will ultimately be a fourth rounder, and they'll move the wrong direction in the fifth round as well, in that swap of fifth rounders. And he caught eight passes. The Vikings put a third round pick into a kid who has run eight routes this year and has one catch. So at the wide receiver position, the general manager of the Vikings, at a cost of last year's third rounder and this year's fourth rounder, has collected eight catches.
It's so bad. This is a gots to go situation for Kwezi. He's gots to go. And you asked the awkward question of, so what about JJ? Justin Jefferson, the original JJ, not JJ McCarthy. Screw him. Would you trade him? Could you trade him? What could you get? Is it the right move?
Here's the problem. So Justin Jefferson looks visibly agitated about how things have gone this year.
Oh, he's in
unhappy.
Hell.
He's coming off a 4-yard game. And for much of last week's game, he was negative yardage. He had one catch for like negative two for a big chunk of the game. As a fan base that traded away Randy Moss to get Troy Williamson.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was what we did with the Randy Moss pick, is we took wide receiver Troy Williamson at like pick 10 of that year's draft. We are so scared right now about Justin Jefferson, and understandably so, wanting to leave this team and go play for a team that has a quarterback. And who would blame him at this stage, Zabe? Now, obviously, nothing's going to happen for the rest of this year. But going into next season, there's no quarterback answer on roster. I mean, unless J.J. McCarthy makes unless he makes the biggest turnaround in the history of the NFL, he is not requisite of an NFL starter next year. And this team does not have a quarterback waiting to walk into that spot. So Justin Jefferson may rightfully want to leave. The Vikings might have to send him away. He's only 26, man. He's still right in his prime. The Vikings may have to send him away and hope that they get enough currency back that they can go find a quarterback and reset, you know, do another reset after they just did one.
If there's any hope for Viking fans or any other team that's got to hit the plunger really hard, if you're smart and a bit lucky, you can do it. You can rebound quickly because the Patriots have. And I know it was just the Giants, but they blitzed them right from the start. Hit them in every which way possible. Special teams, touchdowns, defense, offense, up and down the field. Drake May is ridiculously good in his second year. They picked up Vrabel as a coach because that woman owner in Tennessee got caught in her feels and decided to fire him because there was some power struggle going on. You moron, lady. He took the Titans to the AFC title game against the Chiefs and was in that game before they let him off the hook. What are you doing? This guy's a great coach. So with the better coach and with a quarterback in May, who was not considered to be this good, I remember the buzz on him, and they were nitpicking a lot of flaws with him. He is a flat-out stud, and they did this 2 years after getting rid of a guy who has the most Super Bowl rings of any coach in history.
Yeah, they made the very smart decision to pull the ripcord on Jerod Mayo fast. Man, if you ever need a perfect example of how important a coaching staff is to a football team, look at the Patriots. Look at the transformation from Jerod Mayo over to Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, with much of the same roster. Now they did pour a bunch of money into three or four key defenders. So they did get better on defense, but the defense is definitely part of the story with the Patriots. But what they have done with Drake May is remarkable, and just the overall level of professionalism and competency that they've got with New England. They're the number one seed in the AFC, I believe, or maybe it's Denver. They're either the one or the two seed right now.
They're number one right now, and they got the most wins in the NFL. And I would say, of course, they'd be a favorite to go to the Super Bowl. There are no super teams in the NFL this year. No. They've already gone to Buffalo and beaten the Bills at their place. And it's a two-step hop. It's a hop and a skip, and you're in as the one seed. Yes. To Super Sunday. So they're going to be right on the doorstep unless they stumble down the stretch. I want to give you a list of the one-and-done coaches because there's some pretty funny names I'd forgotten about. You ready?
Oh, boy.
Jerod Mayo was the most recent 2024. Antonio Pierce with the Raiders before that. Frank Reich in Carolina. Nathaniel Hackett in Denver.
How badly that went? Oh.
As soon as you know it ain't it, you go, nope, out.
Out. Yes.
Lovie Smith with the Texans, David Culley with the Texans, Urban Meyer with the Jaguars, Freddie Kitchens from the Browns. I love the Freddie Kitchens era. Steve Wilks in Arizona, Chip Kelly with the Niners, Jim Tomsula with the Niners. Forgot about him. Rob Chudzinski with the Browns.
Browns, yes. This would have been a good trivia game. Like, how could you have gotten the team right? If I give you Jim Tomsula, can you name the team he coached?
All right, we'll play. There's a big stack more of these guys. Mike Mularkey.
Right, let me see how I do.
Mike Mularkey.
Titans?
Jaguars, 2012.
Jaguars.
Hugh Jackson. One and done.
Raiders.
The ding. Jim Mora Jr.
Falcons.
No. Seattle Seahawks. Bobby Petrino.
Falcons.
Yes, that was the Falcons. He took over the job expecting Michael Vick at quarterback, and then the feds raided his dogfighting operation. Remember that? And so he ran off to take over Arkansas.
He left in about this time of year. Mike Zimmer was the defensive coordinator there. And when Zim was in Minnesota, obviously I had many chances to interview him and asked him one time about that Falcons team when they got left holding the bag. And his quote was, fuck that guy. He hated him.
Of course. Art Shell.
Well, so Shell was the Chiefs coach for a while. That wasn't his one and done, though.
No. Romeo Crennel was one and done with the Chiefs, but Art Shell was one and done with the Raiders.
Raiders.
Marty Schottenheimer had a one and done.
Well, he was at the Chargers for a long time, so it's not the Chargers.
No. We knew him well here in Washington.
Oh, was it Washington?
The Redskins, 2001. Al Groh,
GRO. Jets.
Yep, he was formerly Minnesota head or Minnesota. He was former Virginia coach. Ray Rhodes, longtime Eagles coordinator.
Packers.
Packers. He was a one and done with the Packers.
Yep, Packers.
And now we're getting far back in time. Joe Bugel, former Redskin assistant under Gibbs, got 1 year and done with the Raiders. Pete Carroll got 1 year and done with the Jets. And on down the line. Let me finish on this because we've covered a lot of ground. Quick update. Beef Wellington, the national origin is British, considered a British dish with potential French roots. The name is linked to Arthur Wellesley, the first Duke of Wellington, though the exact connection is unclear. May have originated from a French dish called filet de bœuf en croûte. Filet de bœuf en croûte. It is meat inside a croissant, essentially.
And it's got, it's notorious. It's got the puff pastry on the outside, but you still have to cook the meat on the inside. It is, beef Wellington is one of those things that's extraordinarily hard to cook. And one of those dishes that separates great cooks from mediocre cooks, from bad cooks and home cooks. They use it a lot as challenges on cooking shows.
Right.
Because it's hard.
Right. Then there's this. NFL Red Zone ads are up from what they originally promised. Who could have seen this?
Of course.
16 spots on Sunday when they originally said, don't worry, there'll just be two of them or four of them or something like that. They've quadrupled in the span of one season so far. And as Darth Vader once said, I've altered the deal. Pray that I don't alter it further.
And altered again. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. And nobody's surprised that this is happening. I've thought about this a lot, Zay, because it's so irritating. The only thing that I think we can do as fans is to start loud boycotts of the brands that are buying the ads. I don't think there's anything else that we could do to change the needle.
Oh, we can do all that, Charge. It's not going to do shit. There's not enough of us. We can't bring them to their knees. Even the successful boycotts by companies have needed the willing participation of the woke media to actually get broadcasters or whomever to back down. You need both the companies, corporate power, and the media. A actual organic fan-led boycott, we got no shot. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
It would be hard, but not impossible. I mean, you know, every now and again, you do get enough reach and you get enough outrage that fans can move the needle on stuff. You know, Cracker Barrel, whatever. It doesn't have to be political. It should just be, we've had it with this.
I would love to do it. But here's the thing. Forget the commercials. Put some effort into it. I said this on Twitter, that the NFL Network version of Red Zone, not the Andrew Siciliano DirecTV version, this current version with Hanson is one of the most overhyped things ever. That in the 4 o'clock window last week, with three games going, they just clicked randomly from game to game with no rhyme or reason, cutting off crucial analysis of a big play that had just happened, which you want to have the color guy explain, well, here's how he got open, and then show a replay or two. It dumps out of that to a second and six at the 45 in another game for no reason. Hanson's nowhere to be found doing handoffs between the switches. I would be willing to bet, if I go back and look at the old version, that Siciliano never went from one game to the other without doing his job as an announcer, bridging it by saying, okay, this drive looks like it's stalling. Let's quick take you back out to LA. He always did that. Siciliano minded the stove for truly all 7 hours. And Hanson, he must have been sleeping. I didn't hear from Hanson for an hour.
Hanson, he is allowed to poop.
Well, to wear a diaper. In the morning.
If you're signing up to be the host of six straight hours of uninterrupted football, wear a goddamn diaper.
It is what I've learned a great term called the enshittification of things in American society. They just get a little shittier and a little shittier all the time. The enshittification. So, Red Zone, congratulations. You're getting enshittified as we speak. Lastly, let's talk about good old Jackson Dart. This guy got his shit blown up, running down the sideline without a care in the world. And he also wears a diamond necklace that I'm hoping is cubic zirconia, but I doubt it. The real value of this chain that he wears during games has got to be high six figures, close to $1 million. We're talking giant shark's tooth sized diamonds across his neck. Did you see in the few close-ups they had of that necklace?
I did. It is huge, and I thought the same thing you did. I'm like, I hope that's not real. Why would you ever put that kind of wealth on you, onto something that while you're getting blown up, the pieces could scatter? Who knows? I mean, I don't
why?
Know. I guess you could get it insured, but you're also on your rookie deal.
Because
you got paid handsomely in college, but still.
But here, look at this guy here, and then you can tell me why it is that a guy like that would do something.
Not good enough because we lost.
Yeah.
That's primping right there.
Not good enough because we lost.
He's got a big old, what looks like itchy as shit wool sweater, turtleneck, flowing beautiful hair. I'm envious. I wish I had hair like that. Charge, you do. Might even be your real hair, but I'm not gonna tell Terrell.
It's all my hair.
He's got beautiful hair. He's a good looking guy, and he does not know when to get the fuck out of bounds or to get down. He's just coming back from like his third concussion, and he couldn't care less. He just loves it. Here's the answer for him on why don't you get down more. Gruden in the pre-draft Gruden Football Academy, whatever blah blah thing they call it, was imploring him, saying, please learn when to get down. Here he was afterwards in the press conference.
Okay.
No.
Okay,
no,
then.
No. I mean, it was second down. Like, you could run out of bounds a yard earlier and still have third and short.
He can only take so much.
That's the thing. Like,
That's just...
Right? Like, on that play, it was what? Second and 13. Right.
That's just the get up. I thought I had the actual quote from him. I bookmarked it somewhere. But basically, he said, hey, man, it's football. This is how I've played my whole life. So... it's not going to change. Okay, dummy. Have a nice short career and maybe save some money other than that stupid fucking necklace.
Yeah. Well, there's part of me that's like, I love that. I love the answer. Like, you know what? I'm going to take hits. We're playing football. And I'm, you know, this is who I am. And part of what makes Jackson Dart a fascinating quarterback is his willingness to go run with the ball. Well, just go out there and you know,
he can do whatever he can do. What
that Zabe, when we treat quarterbacks like princesses now, I like a quarterback that's out there. Like this is a combat sport, contact sport.
It is fun. I did love the hit. I love they didn't flag it. I did say on Twitter, good, blow his shit up. I want more quarterbacks blown up like that, especially Mahomes. Oh, what I wouldn't give Santa Claus. All I want for Christmas is for once Patrick Mahomes to get his shit blown up. Bam! Dump trucked. I want a stalled car on a train crossing kind of collision for Patrick Mahomes. Just once, please, Santa Claus. That's all I want. But he can do whatever he wants, just like buying gold chains and diamond chains that are absurd. Your career will be over so quick, we won't even be able to remember it. So good luck.
Look at what's happening to Jaden Daniels now. You know, I feel bad that, you know, there's these guys that are special because of their mobility, and then injury starts to take it away unless you're just a freakishly built guy like Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, who just seemed indestructible despite running all that that way. The hope was that Dart was going to have some of that because he is a bigger body guy, but he's not like those guys.
So, as a Viking fan in closing, how will you root or lean for the Bears-Packers game, given that you hate them both with all the passion in your heart?
No, we hate the Packers.
Okay,
the
so
Bears,
it's an easy...
Because the Bears, great rivalries are built when a team takes something away from you. When a team hurts you.
Hurts you to your soul.
The Bears never hurt the Vikings.
Okay.
You know, it's just,
fair enough.
The Bears have been, they've just, you know, I don't have it in me. I don't have hate in my heart for the Bears.
It's a good point. I'm trying to think of the most iconic Bear Viking highlights of all time.
Just pull up Walter Payton highlights and then sit back and watch because that's all that.
Was your childhood scarred with sweetness running free against your purple people?
Yeah. Yes, diving at his feet and whipping entirely. Barry Sanders, too, although he roasted everybody, but plenty of Vikings highlights as well. But, yeah, you know, this was right, you know, the Walter Payton era. I'm still very young at that stage, but still a Viking fan. I remember him just whomping my favorite team. And, you know, obviously he was great. So that's, you know, there haven't been that. Other than that, that's how far back you have to go before that team really hurt the Vikings, because – you know, Rex Grossman, whatever. Granted, he made a Super Bowl.
All right, Charge. Song is running out. As always, I appreciate your time with me, and we'll talk next week.
Awesome, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. The holidays are here, and if you've got names on your list that are impossible to buy for, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last-minute. I found something perfect for any football fan in your life, the New York Times Custom Football Book. You pick your favorite NFL team and they create a custom book with actual front page coverage from the Times going all the way back to that team's early years. We're talking historic games, championships, legendary moments, over 90 pages of real newspaper history. Talk about a gift that will blow them away. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, sports fans, foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make, they give $1 back to nonprofit partners of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. For 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.